And so you have your Bibles, my friends. Let's go to Psalm 119. And in fact, I was going to make a joke about it. You know, Brother Simonson preached through the whole book of Revelation in 1 hour. Let's see how long it takes me to go through the whole book of Psalms. But no, even Psalm 119, no, that's just way too much. Let's just, in fact, focus on just the one verse. And so let's go to Psalm 119. We'll focus on that verse. We have more to come to support it, but we'll focus on that one first for tonight. Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible. And, of course, the emphasis, the whole chapter, about the Word of God. And specifically how the psalmist just loves the Word of God so much. For 100, is it 176 verses? Let's see here. Yes, literally for 176 verses, just keeps praising God for his precious word, and that how he loves it so much, how he meditates so much about it, he just can't quit, can't get enough of God's word. And what a testimony. And so let's go to Psalm 119, verse 28, and the title of tonight's message, God Said It, Claim It. God Said It, Claim It. And what do we mean by that? Well, we'll let the scripture speak for itself. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 28. We'll start there. And the Word of God says, and this is a very humble plea, by the way. This, of course, is God's scriptures, an inspired Word of God. But it is kind of a prayer, you know, because he's pleading to God. But look at verse 28 with me. The Word of God says, the psalmist cries out, he says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house even tonight, Lord. I thank you so much, Father, for just the precious souls, in Bolivia. Lord, that another one trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And then in Kenya, Lord, what a tremendous joy that we are reminded, Lord, that the harvest is still plenteous, the labors are few. Even then, Lord, you continue to bring in souls to thy kingdom. We thank you so much, Father, that we are co-laborers, Lord, with those that we support and pray for. And Father, we ask that you be with us even tonight. Thank you for the folks that made it out, Lord. Bless them in a special way. Speak to us from thy holy word, Father. Hide me behind the cross, that it must be your precious word that proceedeth out of my lips, Lord. And Holy Spirit of God, commune with us, Lord, and speak with us that we can just glean from your precious word tonight, Lord, and help us to be so thankful for the promises in your word, and then to be challenged to claim each and every one of those promises in thy holy word. We ask you bless tonight and stir our hearts, we ask, in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Praise the Lord. A wonderful verse, as we read in verse 28 here, really a cry from the psalmist out to God for strength. And, you know, we don't quite know the details of what specifically this heaviness is. The idea is really a tough time, right? A really hard time, if you want to emphasize it as some kind of a horrific time. But it's a cry to God from the psalmist for strength to get through this horrific time. And notice the verbiage that's used. He's speaking very, very intimately, my soul. I mean, boy, that's your very being. And so not just not just a flesh wound, not just a paper cut, okay, not just something that's on my extremities. This is the very core of your being. And if your soul goes down, everything goes down, right? And so he's really, really grieving. And so the idea is that not just physical pain and suffering, but the emotional that goes along with that, even right down to his very person. So my soul melteth for heaviness. That's a very powerful way of saying, just like wax would melt by a blazing fire. The idea, if you have, we're reminded of this whenever we have we sing happy birthday, we've got the candles, you know, and sometimes it takes us a while to get everyone on deck, you know, and the candles have already been lit, you know, you only have so much time. But the wax does not hold up to any flame. It's not if it would hold up. We know it won't. It's not if it would just melt and dissolve away. It's when it would, right? But the idea is when the psalmist is saying, my soul melteth, just like wax will melt when exposed to a blazing fire, the idea is that he's got no chance of survival. The wax has no chance of making it past the fire. It's not if it would melt away. It's when it will melt away, right? And so this is. I mean, he's wearing away. This psalmist, his soul is eroding away. He's slowly losing his grip of whatever, and so he's slipping further and further down. And this is a tough time. Continually getting weary, getting borne down by the continual onslaught of overwhelming burdens. Okay, I mean, I can't stress enough. How to me, I might read it. Oh, this is a simple verse. I just read it and just move on. But to understand, if I'm the psalmist, no matter what circumstance I might be, maybe we can identify with this. If you're going through a hard time now, maybe something that's overwhelming. Maybe you feel like the psalmist right here. Maybe your soul is melting, you know, and you can't hold on much longer before you're totally gone. Okay, that's the mindset. And so, what does he do? He prays. He prays. Now, what's so unique about this verse, when you notice, yes, he does reference God's word, according unto thy word, but verse 28 is a verse of plead, right? He's pleading, he's praying, he's calling out to God, and it's not found in this psalm. The theme of the psalm is the preciousness of God's word, how the psalmist just loves God's word, can't get enough of it. Can't get enough of it. Just 176 verses. I mean, he wants God's verse, word. But it's not, this verse might seem at face value to be misplaced because it's not part of a psalm that is crying out to God. Okay, it's not part of a psalm that the whole theme of the psalm is, I'm overwhelmed, Lord, help me. It's not a psalm of deliverance. It's not a psalm of pleading. You know, it's a psalm about the word of God, right? And so why is it here? Now, I think there's a wonderful, hopefully, an aha for us as we realize this. This verse is absolutely, of course, we know it's not misplaced. It's just tongue-in-cheek. Of course, we know that it's intentionally here. But I believe the psalmist is crying out for help in the midst of this psalm that glorifies God's word because, specifically, the psalmist is claiming for himself everything that God's word is supposed to be to him. Look, notice what he says here. My soul melted for heaviness. That's the circumstance. Strengthen thou me. So this is his plea to God. But then he continues, according unto thy word. So he's crying out to God in the midst of a psalm that is about God's word, saying, God, just as your word is, exactly what and how your word says it, the promises that you tell me in your word, nothing out of it, just exactly what you say. Lord, those promises that you've already told me, please strengthen me according to those promises. You know, and he's not concerned about things outside the word of God. He's not concerned about things that God didn't say. You know, but this is specifically what God has said. That's how he wants to be strengthened. He's taking God's promises personally from a general promise to all mankind, to a personal promise to me. Not just the word of God, but this is God's word to me. Lord, I am going down. I'm mayday, mayday, Lord. My soul is melting away. There's not going to be much left, Lord. Before it's too late, please strengthen me according unto thy word. Everything that God says, everything that God promises, everything that God intended, he wants that promise that God said, Lord, now I need it. Lord, this is when I really, really need it. And so just a couple of things for context. Yeah? And again, as we would apply this to ourselves, if we cry out, if we claim this verse, claim what the psalmist is saying and cry out to God when our soul melteth, claim the promises of Scripture. A couple of thoughts here. And so let's go to Isaiah 55, verse 11. Isaiah 55, verse 11. I have a number of verses here. We'll see how it goes. It takes more time to turn to the references. I like to do that because then we see God's word, you know, verbatim. You know, we hold a verse and see it in our hands. But if we run short of time, I'll just read them. But let's go to Isaiah 55, verse 11. So just to get us thinking, according unto thy word. So as exactly your word tells us about itself, that's what I want you, Lord, to strengthen me by. So Isaiah 55, verse 11. It's a wonderful verse. Of course, it tells us here God's promises always come to pass. God's promises always come to pass. Yep. And so Isaiah 55, verse 11, the word of God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so, if we know this, claim it. Claim it. God, your promises always come to pass. And Lord, I'm so thankful it does. Because Lord, now I need you. I need you now. When you tell me you never leave me, nor forsake me, hallelujah, because that's what I need right now, because my soul is melting. What about Isaiah chapter 40? Let's go back just a few chapters to chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, and then verse 8. God's word endures forever. Here's another good one. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Short verse, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand for how long? Forever. And so when my soul melteth, when I feel like I'm nothing, God's word is still there. It's just as strong. It stands forever. The Bible stands every... it's all there. That's a wonderful joy. And so what a blessing. And God promises not just for... There's not just some term limits, right? This promise is awesome, but just for the good, you know, good for the first 2,000 years that mankind has it. After that, there's no term limits. It's forever. Right? What about verse, same chapter, but go down to verse 29 with me. Isaiah 40, verse 29. God's word strengthens, literally strengthens. Again, and again, this is what the psalmist is claiming, right? He's asking for this and he's claiming it. So look at verse 29. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Amen. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a promise in the Word of God. And so when the psalmist is in Psalm 119, when he's praising how much he loves God's Word, and he gets to verse 28, O Lord, my soul melteth. Because of the heavy burden that he's going through. He said, nevertheless, it's okay, Lord. You strengthen me according to your word. When your word says that you would raise us up, when your word tells me that you will give us strength from your word, Lord, I need that. I need to tap into what you have already said. I mean, he's not asking for anything more. He's just saying, Lord, I really want what your word tells me, what your word promises. Let's go to Jeremiah. So one book over, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Now, you know, I'm using a lot of Old Testament references. It's kind of intentional. Obviously, there's just as many New Testament references to the power of God's Word. But I'm using kind of Old Testament references just in case. I mean, I don't know if the psalmist was thinking these verses, okay? But I'm just saying the idea that, you know, this was written years before he was writing the Psalms. Okay, so maybe he was referencing these verses, but I just want to put us in the shoes of that psalmist. But let's go to Jeremiah 15. And then verse 16, look at this. God's word rejoices the heart. Look at verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Yeah, it took them to heart, right? And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now again, Jeremiah, he's no stranger to hardships, talking about your soul melting. Jeremiah, yep, right here. My soul is melting. My face was melting. I'm crying all the time. I mean, you know, nonstop. I mean, so he can relate to having a soul that's melting. And so, but God's word gave him joy. And the psalmist saying, Lord, my soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. As it gave joy to Jeremiah. Lord, please, I need this joy of your word. God's word rejoices the heart. What about Psalm 107? Let's go back to Psalm book of Psalms, but Psalm 107. Let's go to Psalm 107. And then verse 20. God's word delivers. It saves. Psalm 107. And then verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God's word delivers. And so you recap this, and again, this is just a little snapshot. I mean, it keeps on going. But these are just a few, four or five verses that we looked at speaking about God's word and what it does and the promises in God's word, about God's word to us. So when we put all these truths together about God's word, We have the complete package to strengthen us, okay? But we must claim it. We must claim these truths for ourselves, okay? And so the idea is this, I believe, putting myself in the shoes of the psalmist, he's saying, God, you say in your word, God, that your word rejoices the heart, that your word heals, that your word strengthens. It always comes to pass. It lasts forever. And so, Lord, right now I am trusting you to strengthen me according unto thy word. What a joy, you know. I think even in the most trivial circumstances, you know, and the power is in the word, right? I might buy a product, and then it doesn't work, and then I go back, I try to return it, and then the clerk says, "Oh, I'm sorry, that's on you. Okay, you bought it, you keep it," and I say, "Oh, but it says right here, 30 days, money back." What? I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, the power is in the word to make my argument. And so it says it right here. You got to honor that. What you said, you got to honor it. And the idea, of course, we don't do that to God, okay? But the idea is that God tells us what he will do for us. And so the psalmist here finds himself when his soul is melting for heaviness and there's this overwhelming burden in his life. He calls out to God to strengthen him, not asking for anything new or different. Just according unto thy word. In other words, he's claiming for himself the promises that God already gave in general. You know what I'm saying? God says it. I mean, it's truth no matter what. But God's promises won't mean much to us if we don't claim them personally. And so notice how the psalmist, first of all, he's even praying very intimately to God. But notice, observe how the psalmist prays to God when we take God and his word personally. The psalmist cries out, strengthen. Strengthen. That's a wonderful word that in our main verse. Strengthen. He's asking for God to strengthen him. He's not pleading for God to help him avoid the trials. He's not asking God to remove the burdens. But he's praying to God to strengthen him to do the impossible. Rise through his burdens. Carry the burden of heaviness. And so the idea is, you know, he wants to be that stubborn candle that wouldn't melt away by the heat of the flame. Because God is divinely holding him and strengthening him. I mean, he's not asking to, Lord, help me to just avoid this pain. Lord, just take away this hardship, then I'll be good. No, he's saying, strengthen me, because here we go. He's going to bust right through it. And then he calls out to God, strengthen thou me. He's talking strengthen thou me according unto thy word. He's not just speaking about God, he's speaking to God, and it's a personal cry to God. And I want us to understand again, and sometimes we get spoiled because we're New Testament believers. You know, everyone can pray to God. It's a wonderful thing. Old Testament saints, in fact, in our Sunday school, we talk about this. Old Testament saints, not so. Not so. Moses spoke to God, sure. The rest of Israel, oh, it's going to consume me. Moses, you talk to God. You tell us what. I mean, we're so blessed that any one of us New Testament believers can speak to God. But if Moses was here, like, well, back in my day, back in the tough old days, only I spoke to God. Everyone else was cowering from the burning mountain, you know. And so Moses spoke to God back in the old days, Old Testament. Daniel, you know. Remember God spoke to Daniel, you know, Daniel, a man greatly beloved, oh Daniel, you know, and Jeremiah, he had anxiety issues, right, because God was sending him to preach, I'm just a youth, I don't know how to see it, oh, it's okay, I ordain you as a prophet, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you, Jeremiah, and so God is very intimate. How about Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? I mean, God spoke to his prophets, and God spoke to them in the Old Testament. God spoke to those in the Old Testament, those were the who's who in the Bible, right, all these named prophets. Those are the who's who that God spoke with. Well, how about this? When I pray to God, when you pray to God, you're a who's who to God. That's amazing. Moses spoke to God. The psalmist speaks to God. But when we pray, we're speaking to God. That is awesome. That is claiming God personally as our God. Claiming his word personally as God's word for us. And then God's promises, God said it, claim it. Because that's exactly what the psalmist here is doing. He's claiming what God said. Therefore, when we pray, you can pour your heart out to him. A couple more thoughts here. Other promises? What are the verses? What are the promises that the psalmist claim? And so I at least from surface, from I didn't do too deep dive into this, but at face value, I could find seven more verses where the sum. Oh wait, no, nine more. Was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? 11 more. Okay, 11 more verses that the psalmist is claiming God's promise for himself based on what God already said. Okay, he's not asking God to come up with something new for his situation. Okay, he's just saying, you said this before. I like that now. I like that now, Lord. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 119. Back to Psalm 119, and we're going to rattle through, or we're going to read through this list of verses here. I hope it would encourage you. Psalm 119, let's go to verse 9. We'll start there. Psalm 19, 119, and then verse 9. And so he says here, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So in other words, if you obey the word of God, don't have to go beyond it. That's overthinking it. But just do what God says. You will walk in righteousness. Your path will be you have a clean testimony, okay, a holy testimony. What about verse 25? Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. The idea here is basically, I'm as good as dead. I'm decomposing. Quicken, make alive thou me according to thy word. God's word breathes life. Remember that was what God told Elijah to do in the valley of dry bones, right? What do you see here? Oh, a lot of bones. Preach to it. Or was it Ezekiel? Was it Elijah? It's Ezekiel. Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. So preach to it. And so can you imagine preaching to... a valley of dry bones. I don't know, Lord. Yeah, they're not going to. It's going to be a tough crowd. Just skeletons. But he preached to the skeletons the prophecy, the word of God. And as he was preaching the word of God, it gets pretty. I wish they had maybe a CGI type thing. You know, but it showed the cells starting to grow back, the muscles, the tissues, tendons to wrap around, and it started to regenerate into an army. The soldiers of Israel, the nation of Israel. That was the word of God that breathed life into them, right? So God's word gives life. What about verse 41? Verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. That is the epitome of God's mercy, it's salvation, and of course everything before that, but according to thy word. Lord, you said you love me. You said your mercy endureth forever. Lord, I need that mercy, as you said. What about verse 58? Verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. My friends, you don't have to hold back. When you cry out to God, you can give him your whole heart. He'll not do you wrong. You can just free fall into him. You know, sometimes when dealing with other people, you know, kind of guard your heart. Like, I don't know, if I give too much of my heart, you might kind of take it and twist it and kind of stab me in the back. You can give God your whole heart. Just trust in him. The more you give him, the more he blesses you. Verse 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. God, you said you'll be good to me, and you were. You're exactly what you want and how you said you are. That's so wonderful. He is so faithful. Verse 76, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. According to thy word unto thy servant. Speaking about himself. Again, God, just as how you said you are. That's how I want you to be to me. That's how I need you. Verse 107, we're inching our way up. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Just as your word gives power of life, I need that. Verse 116, uphold me according unto thy word that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me according unto thy word. You're faithful, Lord. You're always there. Uphold me now. I need you now. My soul melteth because of heaviness. What about verse 154? Verse 154. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. God is so faithful. I mean, some of these, not to say repetitive, I mean, but it shows the emphasis that God is always there. His word brings life. Verse 169 and 170, and then that kind of wraps it up here. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Lord, you said if I seek you, your wisdom, your Holy Spirit, you will give him to me. You will fill me with knowledge. You would fill me if I thirst and hunger after righteousness. And you will give me your knowledge, Lord. And if I cry after wisdom, it will be found. And so, Lord, I need that. I want that. Verse 170, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Lord, you say you would deliver me. You're a very present God in time of trouble. Lord, I need you right now in my life, and you're right there. God's promises. God said it. Claim it. So when we take this into context of how, is it 11, 12 times, including our main verse, so at least 12 times I count it, that the psalmist is claiming God's promises. Is it any other wonder that the rest of the verses, the rest of the psalm, he is praising, literally praising God, how he cannot get over his word. God's word is so good. Day and night, meditating on it, you know, feasting on it, rejoicing in it. He can't stop reading upon it. His precepts, his judgments, his testimonies, his laws. He loves it so much. It's because he's claimed it from God's promise to his heart. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for your precious, precious word, your precious, precious promise. Promise us, help us to claim it, Lord. You wrote it, yes, for mankind, but you wrote it specifically for me, for us, individually me, Lord. And so, Father, help us, Lord, to claim your promises. Help us to pray your promises. And, Lord, we ask that you meet with us tonight, Lord, according to your word. Lord, that your will be done, Lord. And just as you have said, that's exactly what we need and desire. And so, Father, we just give you all the praise. We thank you for this night. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll just take a couple of updates.